You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And you are tuned in to the Refresh radio program brought to you by the wonderful saints of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And we'd like to take this moment to invite you out. You know, a lot of times I ask if, you know, you would like to be a blessing, but maybe you need some people who will be a blessing in your life. Paul and I were just talking here before we went on the air about how he got saved. And I will tell you, Jesus living in your heart is the preeminent greatest blessing that you will ever have in your life. And so, you know, here not too long ago, we had a celebration of life service. One of our dear saints that had passed away, and they had moved out of the area, but the Merit Assembly of God was so precious to them that the family wanted to have the service at Merit Assembly of God. And so we were more than happy to accommodate that, and had a really wonderful celebration. And during that service, there was a lot of things that were said about, you know, where this person had come from a background standpoint. And but the thing that got me was they remembered the spiritual impact that this person had made on their lives, and they were able to give detail of when the conversation happened, how it happened, how they were taught, and you know, how this person responded when people treated her badly, and things like that. And you know, that's just the type of people that we are at Merit Assembly of God, and that is we are blessed by God, and we want to be a blessing. And if we can be a blessing to you, come check us out, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock with youth service for the teenagers and adult Bible study, and pray that you will be a part of that as well. So today we're going to go to Psalm 100. We're starting to wrap up this partnership that exists between seeking the truth of God, and when you do that, you also find the mercy of God. So I don't know if we'll get through with it this program or next, but we're going to start in Psalm 100. Psalm 100 has a massive five verses in it, so we're going to read all five verses to you. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So there is repeated reminders throughout the Word of God that remind us, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Okay? I think when you see that once, and then you see it twice, and then you see it over, there was a responsive psalm. And every time a statement was made, the children of Israel were to respond, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." So the first thing that I want to share with you today about God's truth and his mercy is that they are both everlasting. It says here his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. So his truth is never going to pass away. His word is never going to pass away. There's never going to be a new and improved truth. There is never going to be a day where mercy says, oops, I forgot to show up that day. It endures. It is everlasting. And so I'm looking at this and say, God, you know, what is it that you want to say to the listeners of the Refresh Radio program? What does this mean? And it all begins with the goodness of God. It all begins with the goodness of God. For the Lord is good. Because of that, there are some things that we should do. We should enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We should enter into his courts with praise. And we should be thankful and we should bless his name. All of those are actions that are birthed out of the goodness of God. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. One of the things that I commented on, and others did as well, was the person that was promoted into eternity. They were always helping people, always, always. In fact, I was having a conversation with a person after everything had taken place, and said, you know, and because I didn't know that they had opened their house to so many people. I said, do you know that when we ran into a timing issue where we were moving into our house and a worship leader was moving in where we lived, and there was a hurricane that threw off the timetable of everything. And because of that, we needed a place for the new worship leader to stay. And they stayed with this individual and had nothing in common other than Jesus. Didn't know one another. Hadn't really met other than during an outreach earlier in the year. But this person said, no, God has taken care of me, and I'm going to take care of other people. And so they were always showing mercy, always, to the point that I'm a merciful person. Mercy is my primary gifting when dealing with people. But some of those people had even gotten to the place where my reservoir of mercy was like, I just wouldn't help them anymore. And they just continued to show them mercy. And what I want to share with you today is that because of the goodness of God, not only in his character, but how he manifests himself in your life and my life, we are supposed to show mercy to those around us without fail. It is everlasting. And so on your good days, you're meant to be merciful. On your challenging days, God wants you to be merciful. When you've shown mercy, God wants you to continue to show mercy. I remember working for an individual, and for some reason, I remember exactly how old this person was. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm in the neighborhood. And when they got to that age that I'm talking about, I'm not going to tell you what that age was, they were done with mercy. And so they were a bit on the cranky and the crusty side at times. Now, if you knew them, you knew a great person, but there were certain things that they just didn't want to put up with anymore. And I said, God, I don't ever want to be a cranky old person. You know, and I think that's a good goal. I don't want to be a cranky old person. What I didn't expect was God's response. And so my prayers are very real with God, and his answers are very real with me as well. And so God's response when I said, God, I don't want to be a cranky old person. And I mean, at that point in time, I was in my 20s or 30s. Let's see. Yeah, right around there, 20s, 30s. And he said, then don't be a cranky young person. And I can still remember what he said. And what I want to apply that to is, if you want to show mercy in the future, don't procrastinate. Start living and demonstrating his mercy now. Eternity or everlasting is not a futuristic time principle. It's already in process. Eternity is broken down from eternity past and eternity future, and we are just living in a small little sliver of eternity called now. And so when it talks about endures to all generations, you know, his truth endures to all generations. Again, that's not just talking about the future. It is also talking about our past. We all come from different backgrounds. I doubt any one of us came from a perfect situation. I didn't. My wife didn't. My parents didn't. My grandparents didn't. And my kids didn't. And in fact, there are some things that caused me to praise God. And when I look and see how really my kids have turned out, I don't sprain my shoulder patting myself on the back. I fall to my knees and thank God, because it's only by his mercy and his grace that they have come through still loving Jesus after some of the things that they went through growing up. So we need to share his truth with the future generations, but we also need to come to grips with the truth with past generations. So I remember praying about a situation one time, and it was dealing with a family member, and I was praying about help, you know, God, help me to understand. And all of a sudden, God began to open my eyes to the reality of what they grew up with, some of the things that formed them, and then it helped to give me perspective that, you know, when they were growing up, they were doing the best that they could. Sometimes there wasn't a male role model. Sometimes there were horrible male role models. And if you don't have those things in your life, you don't know, you know, what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. And so I remember this individual, ran into him not too long ago, didn't expect to run into him, hadn't seen him in years and years and years. He had moved out of the area, but he had a dramatic conversion in his life. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I drove up and a family member had passed away, and they had a really tumultuous relationship from what I remember. It wasn't a great relationship, and that person had passed away. And he said, so I want you to know, I drove to their grave, and even though I know that they couldn't hear me, I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. And I think that would be a great step for people who want to live a life of mercy, is don't forget to show mercy to those who came before you. And some of them may have done some really bad things. But, you know, with the Lord's leading there, I pray that your heart would be saturated with the mercy of God. I'm not just saying to wipe things away. There are some people who've had criminal things done to them, and those things need to be dealt with. But remember, we talked about seeking truth. We've talked about seeking justice and righteousness. I'm not talking about just whitewashing that stuff away. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But, you know, sometimes there were some unkind things that were said. So I will tell you one of those things that was said to me or said about me. It was said in my presence, but I was too young to remember it. And that was when I was born. I was in the birth canal for a long time. I almost killed my mother during delivery. It just took a long time, and so my head came out not shaped like the typical baby head at that point in time, because it's a very soft, pliable texture at that point in time, and so a little more moldable, if you will. And so I came out looking like a cone head, and the doctor handed me to my mother, and my mother said, "That can't be my baby. He's too ugly." And, the truth of the matter was I wasn't much to look at that point in stage. A few years later, I won a child beauty pageant. So, just because it was one thing didn't mean that it was going to always be that way. Show a little mercy. I remember getting a phone call one time, and I just hung up from this person, and they had pocket dialed me. They had pocket dialed me, and I answered the phone. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for, phone calls to hang up. Oh, I forgot to say this, and get a phone call back. And in the background, I could hear a person talking about me, and I was listening. You know, it's very, very enlightening, educating when people are saying things when they don't know that you can hear them. And all of a sudden, God spoke this and said, "Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Because you know you've said some things when you didn't think anybody was listening, but I was listening. Just hang up the phone. You don't need to hear that." And so I want to encourage you today that the mercy of God is eternal. It's everlasting for our benefit, but it is also eternal and everlasting, endures to all generations, both the generations to come and the generations that have already gone before us. Over a few pages in Psalm 115, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?'" In the Bible program that I utilize, it says that this psalm is titled "The Futility of Idols and the Trustworthiness of God." The futility of idols and the trustworthiness of God. So it goes on in verse number 3, and it says, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." So there's the futility of the idols portion. And God says, and the psalmist says here, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy and because of your truth." Most of the time, I won't go so far as saying all of the time, but most of the time, the things that we are praying for, the things that we are asking about, have to do with the fact that we are going through things that cause us either physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, financial pain, or it has to do with a family member or a loved one or a friend that is going through that. And so we are very motivated because of that situation. And the psalmist says, take us out of the equation. Take us out of the equation. It's not about us, God. And so when he's talking about the futility of idols, he says, it is not about us, but it is for the sake of your name, receiving the glory that your name deserves. And so he goes on, he says, I don't want anybody in my lifetime to be able to ask this question with any sort of credibility. Where is their God? In other words, I don't want them to be able to see there is no evidence, no manifestation, no indication that the God that you are serving is making any more of an impact than a lifeless idol is in another person's life. Where is their God? So you've heard me talk about Merit Assembly of God, and that we're not the largest church in the area, and that is absolutely true. We're probably one of the smaller churches in the area. I saw a statistic where 50% of the churches in America right now are under 65 people. Well, that would be us. And you know, if you are talking about a church making an impact, you know, you want to see we'd like to see a little more local impact being made, but we also know that this radio program makes an impact, and it makes an impact that doesn't show up in these, you know, the number of people who are coming to the church, doesn't show up necessarily in the balance sheet at the end of the year. There's a lot of impact that is being made that we can't see. And so I asked myself, it was a leadership that somebody posed to churches, and it said, if your church ceased to exist, which a lot of churches have been really struggling over the past couple of years due to COVID, numbers of attendance is down in the majority of churches. A lot of churches, their finances have taken a little bit of a hit. God has been very faithful to us. Our numbers go down, then they go up, then they go down, and you know, it's just a fluctuation during this time. But I said, God, is Merit Assembly of God making an impact? And then we saw pictures of a church in Mexico that used to have a thatch or a branch roof, palm branches, and now it's got a metal roof, and it didn't have any power, and now it's got LED lights, and used to not have a restroom, and now it's got a professionally plumbed restroom, and everything looks beautiful. And it's like, God, you allowed us to make a difference there. And our missions program is far greater than the size of our church. Our missions budget for the year is basically what other people think our total budget for the year ought to be for the size of church that we are. And it's not about us. It's that God's name may be glorified. We want people to see that God is still very much alive. But to your name give glory. Why? Because of your mercy and because of your truth. God uses the foundation of truth and the foundation of mercy as a basis to act in a society in such a way that they know Jesus is real. God is on the throne. You know, if I can go back to a Newsboy song, God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside. That's what, see, our worshiping God is not just intellectual. There are signs and wonders that accompany believers. There are answers to prayer. So I got about 2 minutes here. Here a few weeks ago, we got a text message. I mean, it was a really stressful day. There was numerous fronts that were of activity that were taking place that day. But there was a person who had taken a turn for the worst physically. And so I was invited, you know, I was informed. I said, look, I will be right there. And so I went and I prayed. And I will tell you here, the prayer that I prayed, God, we know that the doctors have spoken and that they said that there's not much hope. And we can look at the electronic devices, the tools, and we can see what those numbers say. And we're not denying the medical expertise and the wisdom. We appreciate the medical team and all that. God, we know what all that has to say, and it's not looking good. But God, in Romans chapter 11, you said, what does the divine response say? And in my Bible, that's capital D, that's capital R. It's talking about how is God responding to the situation. And we said, God, we want to know, what is your response to this situation? Do you want this person to live? We like that response. That's what we're praying for. But whatever your response is, oh God, that's what we're going to accept. And so today, I want you to know, that person made a turnaround. And just went on a series of days improving. I want to thank God for his mercy and his truth. It's not just hypothetical. It's very real. And he wants it in my life, and he wants it in your life for all of eternity. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Back to him. He is the one. He is Jesus. And he is our King. He is our love. He is our God. Come to bring us back to him. He is the one. He is Jesus. Jesus. From wherever spring arrives. Wherever searching comes, look at us. Trace out what.